hooked on GoMileHigh.com, so I got that going for me, which is nice.
Got a receiver. There's a catch made on the near sideline. Down the right side, 35-30. It'll be Galloway down the sideline. He's going to score! He's going to score! He's going to score! It's a touchdown! How about?
And here we go.
Here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in three overtime games this year. They won them all. Galloway.
Welcome to the Ultimate Football Talk Show, right here on GoMileHigh.com. You're now listening to Shay and Squirrel, and this is Inside the Huddle.
Boy, do we ever. 9 days. It's officially the single day mark to the NFL season. 9 days away.
Sorry, I got distracted.
For a second. There it is. I can hear myself now. There we go.
You're on mic two, not mic three.
It says mic three right here.
What the...
That's weird. Whatever. All right. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. 9 days to the start. Everything is, you know, pushing towards the NFL. Everything is pushing towards saying that we are good to go. And, it, you know, everything looks pretty good as of, you know, right now. We have a few headlines for today in the world of football. You want to start us off there, Jake?
There were some things going on in sports today that will make your brain fall out of your skull.
Because I've got nothing here. You're giving me baseball and hockey, and I got my keister blowing in the wind.
It's sports.
All around the clock. Sports all the time.
That's the concept of the news.
Oh, that's never going to work. That's ridiculous.
Thank you, Rob Burgundy, for that. First thing I want to talk about with football today is big man Joe Mixon got a deal. Got a little extension deal. A cool $48 million that he got from Cincinnati. 4-year extension. You think he's worth $48 million as a running back?
It's a hard one, honestly. It's a hard one. And especially when you see, like, you know, across the bay, you know, you see a running back like, you know, Leonard Fournette get cut. It's just, it's weird. That running back market is just interesting. I don't know. I don't believe throwing money into a running back. I believe that's an empty pit. I believe that when you throw money into a running back, you're not going to get that money back invested. So I don't believe it's a good investment, but, you know, only time will tell, right?
Yeah, no, you're right there. Only time will tell. I mean, I don't really see him. He does a lot for the Bengals. Let's put that out there. I mean, he is 3/4 of that offense. I mean, he catches the ball to the backfield for him. He puts up a lot of yards on the ground. But now, you know, now with AJ Green being healthy, a new quarterback there, you know, Tyler Boyd.
They got T. Higgins as well.
T. Higgins now, and they got still got John Ross. If I'm wrong.
They as well as got John Ross.
You know, you look at those four. With Mixon sitting there, that's a decent little offense.
It is. I mean, if you look at it, they have the pieces around them to put up points. It's just, what is that offensive line going to do? What the Bengals have been notorious for the last couple of years is having good offensive weapons, just no offensive line to support their cast. I mean, Andy Dalton, it's not like he never had any supporting cast either. Giovanni Bernard, Joe Mixon as well, you know, and A.J. Green.
Jeremy Hill was there too.
Jeremy Hill, you know, there's some good players there for a good amount of time. It's just, if you have a porous offensive line, there's nothing you could do. If you can't block the other team, then it's, you know, it's kind of hard to win football games.
No, I would agree there. It's if your O-line or your D-line isn't where it needs to be, you know, your whole team kind of starts to falter there. I think O-line and D-line is where a whole team starts. And I mean, $48 million for 4 years is a little over what, $12 million with his incentives a year.
Mm-hmm.
Puts him at what? Was that top five running backs in the league for money?
That's top five in the running backs. That's borderline at the very end of it.
Top five, if I'm wrong there.
But if you think about it, though, they're paying for what they're about to see, though. Joe Mixon doesn't have that much tread on his tires. Again, I don't believe in putting money into the running back position, but with the running back that doesn't have much tread burned on his tires, you could always, you know, give him a team-friendly deal. And it looks like, I mean, it's not exactly a team-friendly deal, but you're, you know, saying, like, hey, we need to build the team around our two franchise players, which is Joe Mixon and as well as Joe Burrow, and try to get as much as we can out of those two players while we can. So...
No, I'm with you there. On other sides, Ed Orgeron is coming out saying more LSU players are opting out of this season. We already seen Jamar Chase opted out, which I think he's a top wide receiver there and good potential NFL, you know, target too.
And like, kudos to him, honestly, by saying, like, hey, you know, you want to watch me play? You can go check the national championship.
Or, yeah,
you know,
like, I guess. But, I mean, is that the only, you know, that's about the only highlights he's going to have now.
Or, well, I mean, there's a lot of highlights from last season.
There's a lot of throwing deep ball highlights, you know, pretty much. Seminoles, Florida State. I don't really like talking about Florida State. But they are going to be sticking with Justin Blackmon as their starting quarterback this year. With, I believe, was it Willie Taggart is gone.
Yeah, he transferred, didn't he?
He transferred. And who's the coach now? I don't stick with Florida State too much. Whoever it is, they are in firm information that Blackmon is going to be starting all season. You know, whether you know, obviously he gets hurt or not is still to be heard. Apparently Trump came and talked to the Big Ten about starting their season.
I did see that. And I also saw that a couple of the Nebraska players were actually helping around with the local Nebraska players.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're not going to have, you know, football, might as well go help, like, local high school teams. And, you know, like, hey, here's what we do at the college level. Here's, you know, difference between a college route tree and a high school route tree.
Yeah. Do you see Lincoln Riley announced the starting quarterback in Oklahoma?
I did see that.
Wow. Looks like this guy's going to be top-notch.
Well, it's crazy, though. Like, after 3 years of, you know, sitting NFL talented quarterbacks, you know, it's kind of a drop-off.
He finally got one that's not that good, which is hard to say for Oklahoma not having a decent quarterback right now.
That is true. I mean, you know, does that open up the door for Baylor, though? Does that open up the door for a Baylor team or a, you know, team like that to come in and sneak that Big 12?
I mean, you know, honestly, I wish Nebraska wouldn't even have left the Big 12. That's a classic Big 12 team, you know, and they went up to the Big 10 and, like, come on. Like, what are y'all doing in the Big 10? I mean, I get Nebraska's. I guess Nebraska is a little more north than Kansas.
It is. Well, it's weird, you know. I mean, I kind of understand why CU went to the Pac-12, but at the same time, it's like I miss those old college rivalries, you know, the CU versus Oklahoma, CU versus Nebraska.
A lot of them are going to be, you know, they're still there, but they're not. They don't have as much.
They're not
meaning.
They're not as prevalent as they were back in the day.
You know, like a Florida State game.
Oh, seriously. Or even then, like a CU-CSU game has more relevance.
Well, there is no Florida-Florida State this year because of the non out-of-conference play. So they're going to take a game away that we've been playing for about 100 years. You know, and it's just sickening to see that the schedules, the way they're going to be coming out, or the way that they're already out. 10 UCF players, I'm another Florida guy, 10 UCF players opted out due to the coronavirus today. Man, is this telling you something?
I think it's telling me that a lot of these players are wanting to, you know, not only opt out, but they want to start a players union. Well, I mean, there's never been a players union in college.
Think about this on the flip. You think everybody doesn't want to get injured?
And not only that, but, you know, have a chance of, you know, I mean, would you rather play in a year that it's up in the air, or would you rather play in a guaranteed season?
I would definitely want to play my senior year. I can guarantee that. You know, without a doubt. We're going to take a quick break, guys. We'll be coming right back with Seg 2 and a lot more stuff to come up and talk about today, guys. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Beat On Air Network.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
It's time for your quarter-hour update on the Press Box.
The 2020 Tokyo Olympics are in danger of being canceled in the wake of the recent coronavirus cases in Japan. Dick Pound, stop laughing, the longest-serving member of the IOC, has said that the organizers have until late May to get the virus under control. If not, then Tokyo is going to lose the Summer Olympics. Bradley Beal recently became the first player to play back-to-back 50-plus point nights since Kobe Bryant, after dropping a career-high 55 points in an overtime loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. This makes him the first player in franchise history with back-to-back 50-point games and the first NBA player to have consecutive 50-point nights since Kobe Bryant in 2007. Top quarterback prospect Tua Tagovailoa expects to receive full medical clearance on March 9th. The former Alabama quarterback will not participate in the NFL Combine, but he will be able to make his pro day. And finally, ESPN Cleveland has suspended Tony Grossi for recent statements he made while he believed he was off the air, calling Baker Mayfield an effing midget. Only he didn't say effing. This has been Ty Fuji with the Press Box Update.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside the Huddle here on GoMileHigh.com, part of the Be On Air Network. I'm your man, Squirrel. Jake back there behind the glass. We are going to talk some fantasy today. This segment here, fantasy is upon us. A lot of people play fantasy football, and it's big. A lot of money in fantasy. A lot of things can go wrong in your league, and a lot of things can go right in your league if you are, you know, doing it right and listening to some of the stuff we have to say. Jake, you're in my ESPN fantasy league. Am I wrong?
No, I'm not. So remember, I got...
Right. You were a little late,
A little late to the party.
Just a little late. Well, if you guys are going to be drafting here soon, which I've already drafted twice. I've already had two drafts happen this year. Had one last Sunday and the one Sunday before that. I actually got first pick in my draft on Sunday, Jake. Man, could you imagine who I took?
I couldn't imagine anyone different besides that man out of...
took Julio Jones as my first pick. That's where I went. No, I absolutely, yeah, took Christian McCaffrey. If you have the first pick and you pass on Christian McCaffrey, I hope everybody in your league kicks you out.
I hope everyone in your
league. Yeah, because that's just not how you're supposed to do things. I actually want to take a look. Did you draft a fantasy team this year at all?
Yeah, so I've only drafted one fantasy team so far, and okay. The one fantasy team that I have drafted was with randoms, mm-hmm. And the one team that I did draft, again, I'm like not high on drafting quarterbacks, so I drafted a quarterback late, and I ended up getting Kirk Cousins, which I was fine with.
I have Kirk Cousins in both of my leagues as backups, bro.
So
that's not a bad quarterback at all to have on your team. I'll tell you that right now.
Here's what's crazy is I drafted him late, and then I waited to see who was on the waiver wire, and guess who was there? Carson Wentz.
Wow.
No one drafted Carson
Wentz.
Well,
I mean, the injury proneness, I could easily see people not taking that, you know, easily. So this is my team that I drafted this Sunday. I want you to tell me how you think I did, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, I had the number one pick, so I had to wait 17 picks, and then I get the double because of the snake. Mm-hmm. So at first, I go Christian McCaffrey. Obviously, I know you have nothing to say there. Number two was DeAndre Hopkins.
That is a good – wow, he dropped all the way to 18, 19 around that? Wow, I'm surprised he dropped out of the top 15.
And my second pick, or my third pick, back-to-back after that? I think it was Mark Ingram. Or either that or I took Kelsey. It was a double right back to back. I think I took DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, right here. DeAndre Hopkins and then Mark Ingram.
That's actually not that, yeah.
So then I waited another 17 picks and then I got Stephon Diggs and Travis Kelsey back to back, bro. Then came Dak Prescott. Raheem Mostert, so this is my starter. Dak Prescott, Christian McCaffrey, Mark Ingram, DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, Travis Kelsey, Raheem Mostert as the flex, Colts defense, and Robbie Gould as my kicker.
The only one I'm really worried about is Raheem Mostert and as well as Stephon Diggs, and I mean, I'm still high on
I think Diggs is going to get a lot of you know, play there in Denver.
I think he is as well, but you still got to remember that that's a running offense.
With Devin Singletary?
Well, Devin Singletary and as well as Zach Moss.
Well, good thing I grabbed Devin Singletary. Emmanuel Sanders, Jordan Howard. Well, I grabbed Devin Singletary in my other league. Emmanuel Sanders, Jordan Howard, Marlon Mack, CeeDee Lamb, Austin Hooper, Kirk Cousins, and Michael Pittman Jr. is my bench. which I think is actually, I think I actually got a pretty good bench.
I think as well too. Yeah.
That's a. I mean, some of these guys could start. Marlon Mack. Think about it. Marlon Mack's a starter. CeeDee Lamb's a starter. Austin Hooper's a starter. Kirk Cousins obviously starts. Michael Pittman is going to be starting. Jordan Howard's the number one running back, and Emmanuel Sanders starts. I got an entire bench that can start that starts football games.
That is true. Not only that, but can give you legitimate minutes and can give you legitimate number one minutes. I mean, a lot of those players are going to be top five in their fantasy at least once or twice in the season.
You know what I'm saying? And then obviously I got McCaffrey, Ingram, Stephon, DeAndre, Kelsey. You know, so and I didn't even have to trade for Kelsey this time.
Did you?
I actually got to draft him. Now my projected
what was it? It was probably like a B plus, A minus?
I think it was a B plus. I got a B minus on my first draft, which I think is
That was on Yahoo, and I don't like Yahoo's draft grade, honestly. I feel like each of them has their own little draft grade, and I like ESPN's.
Yeah, Yahoo's draft grade is a lot worse than ESPN's. You know, ESPN will give you a better benefit. But I looked at my team on Yahoo, and it's I have more projected fantasy points for my ESPN team than my Yahoo lineup. Well, the same. I'm talking if you put them both in Yahoo and you count the numbers, I have, like, 15 more projected points from my ESPN lineup than I would from my Yahoo one.
So that makes a little bit more sense, give or take.
There. Without a defensive player. Exactly. And we got a defensive player in my league.
That's one thing I like about the ESPN one compared to the Yahoo one is you don't have to draft a defensive player. You just draft the defense.
Yeah, no, it won't even let me draft defensive players.
So, no, it's just straight defense.
So, I mean, out of my bench, for people who are listening, Sanders, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Pittman Jr. I want you to give those guys grades. Is Emmanuel Sanders going to be doing enough in New Orleans to warrant a number three wide receiver? Because he would be mine, other than CeeDee Lamb, would be my number three and four. I'm actually trying to throw CeeDee Lamb or Jordan Howard in the flex.
For me, I like the Sanders pick the most because if you look at it, that kind of fits that New Orleans offense. The New Orleans offense is a lot of high precision passing and a lot of high precision routes where you need to like be able to make your cut and be able to catch the ball right out of your route. And what is Emmanuel Sanders really good at? Route running and as well as speed. I feel like he's going to fit in there perfectly. With the Cowboys, I just think there's so many mouths to feed on that offense. We already know what Amari Cooper's capable of. We already knew what Michael Gallup's capable of. We already know what Zeke's capable of. They're going to want to give Tony Pollard touches. They want to try to get some tight end involved, whoever it's going to be this year. But it's, I feel like that Sanders grade's a lot better, honestly, especially with teams that are going to really hone in on Michael Thomas. Sanders is going to get a lot of one-on-one coverage. So
you're giving him what, a B plus? He's going to have a good bit of work.
I think he is. I mean, think about how much
Michael Thomas.
Does he hit 1,000 yards? In that offense, I don't think either of them hit 1,000 yards, honestly.
Michael Thomas don't hit 1,000 yards?
Oh, Michael Thomas. Oh, my bad. I thought you meant Sanders or CeeDee Lamb don't hit 1,000 yards.
Oh, okay. So CeeDee Lamb is a rookie in Dallas, doesn't hit 1,000 yards.
Yes. I don't think either of them hit 1,000
yards this year.
Three tutties?
Maybe four.
I could see them about like around the 3 to 5 touchdown range, honestly.
Say 850 yards, three or four tutties. I think that's a good rookie season.
I think that is, too,
I
honestly.
Think that's actually probably a great rookie season, depending on how many catches he gets. I'm going to put him like 75, 80 maybe catches.
Yeah, and you also got to remember, like, you know, he's going to get a lot of one-on-one coverage, especially with the linebacker, with those two receivers on the outside. He's going to get a lot of one-on-one coverage.
Also, with Gallup there, too, moving around, we know Gallup's a 1,000-yard receiver. He did it last year.
Yeah, and I actually looked it up. There's only been three times in NFL history that receivers have gone, the triplets, three 3,000-yard receivers.
Wow.
Or three 1,000-yard receivers. It's only happened three times in NFL history. So if it happens, I could see it happening in Dallas.
Okay. So, obviously, I got Hooper as a backup tight end. Give me a grade if you had to have Hooper as your starter. If you couldn't get Kelce, Kittle, Ertz, Mandrews, or somebody that you know is... Because he's going to be sharing time with Njoku.
He is.
In Cleveland. Now, I love Austin Hooper. I think he was great in Atlanta. I think they messed up by giving him away.
Well, then they also like replaced him with Hayden Hurst, so they
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Hayden Hurst is a great tight end. He was definitely a number two tight end in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. But he's not a number one, you think?
I don't think Hayden Hurst is a number one. I mean, yeah, he's playing as number one, but when you look at number ones, it's you look at a number one as a drafting number one. You know, when me and you look at a number one on a schedule, it's more of, is he a number one tight end? Is what, top seven tight ends in the league? Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, tight ends are kind of null and void. Once you go to about,
I feel like once you get to about like the Vance McDonald's, that's when you start
Vance McDonald. I put him way down the list, dude. Yeah. I got like Hunter Henry and Tyler Higbee over him.
I was about
him.
To say Hunter Henry or Eric Ebron. That's when the list kind of cuts off.
Yeah, honestly. Evan Ingram's in there. I think Evan Ingram's in that topper level. Kittle, Kelsey. Andrews.
And, yeah. I mean, you got to put Hunter Henry in there. Then
Hunter Henry, when he was good, so, Jason Witten was on that list a lot.
Yeah, you got to put Gronk in there now since Gronk is back.
I mean, but do you put Gronk in that list?
I put Gronk in right that now. List now.
Some people are telling me, you know, some of my sports people that I sort of trust are telling me that Gronk's not the best tight end on that squad.
I know. They got a couple other tight ends. They got O.J. Howard and as well as Cameron Brate, too.
But my argument is you think O.J. Howard or Cameron Brate is better than Rob Gronkowski?
You know, that's some problems are good problems to have, and some problems are bad problems to have. That is a good problem to have. Questioning if these tight ends are better than Gronkowski, that is not a bad problem to have.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not – I have no idea why people would think – that Rob Gronkowski is not the best tight end on that offense right now. You know, I know Cameron Brate. Think about it. Cameron Brate, if you look at the stats, Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard literally had the exact same numbers last year. I'm talking tutties, receptions, yards, like the same. You know, Jameis used them equally, just like he did with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Mm-hmm. You know, they were both top four wide receivers in the league last year. No one expected Godwin to just, you know,
ascend like he did.
Go off. Everybody knew Mike Evans. Everybody knew who Mike Evans was and what he was about. But then you got to think with those guys that they did that with two different quarterbacks. You know, Jameis wasn't playing all year because, you know, Fitzmagic was
that
there.
That was 2 years ago when Fitzmagic was doing that, actually, when Fitzmagic came in.
He didn't play last year at all?
Yeah, Fitzmagic played for the Dolphins last year.
You got me on that. We're going to take a quick break, guys. On the other side of the break, we got Position U. I've been running this for a week now, and we are going to keep on running. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle. Showing!
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
It's time for your quarter-hour update on the Press Box.
The 2020 Tokyo Olympics are in danger of being canceled in the wake of the recent coronavirus cases in Japan.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com and part of the Be On Air Network. And I started some stuff the other week, and it's called Position University. Jake, I wanted to, you know, talk about the positions that each university is the best at, producing. So last week I started with running backs, and I think we did. I'm trying to pull up the site again so I can use the same one. Here we go. So we'll kind of restart it, because I know you weren't here last week, and I like you here with me doing our list together in football. So we're going to start with Position U quarterbacks. Quarterback University.
And isn't it crazy when you look at the list? Who, like, before you even mm-hmm. think of quarterback university, what's the first team that you think of?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, honestly. Who tops the list?
Yeah.
Oklahoma.
So, which list are you got? Because I got USC as number one.
You got USC as number one. I got the ESPN College Football Story list. I got that one.
I think that's which one I'm on. I'm on ESPN as well. So as of right now, on this list that I have, we're just gonna run my list. At what? Sorry about the disruption, ladies and gentlemen. Number 10 for quarterback university is Ohio State. We got some notable players. We'll just throw a few out there. Craig Krenzel, Troy Smith, Terrell Pryor, JT Barrett, Dwayne Haskins. Some big notable names I know you know there.
Some Troy Smith. And you know what's also crazy about that? You could almost call it quarterback university that switched to NFL wide receivers.
Quarterback / NFL wide receiver university. But yeah, we've talked about that a few times. Like,
I mean, you got like Braxton Miller.
And then people are still, because we know more than this list. People forget about Braxton Miller is a wide receiver. Terrell Pryor is a wide receiver. JT Barrett didn't even really make it. Dwayne Haskins.
Try out a wide receiver? I think JT Barrett.
He tried out a wide receiver, but he wasn't an NFL wide receiver.
No.
And then Dwayne Haskins is about the only quarterback that's lasted 3 years. And what is he's a starter.
He is. Well, Haskins is actually a 1 year starter in Ohio State. And last year he, I think, started 8 games last year. Yeah, mm-hmm. 8 games. So, but even then, it's kind of sad to say this, but those Ohio State quarterbacks, as good as they are, they don't transition, it seems like.
They don't transition well to the NFL.
But if you think about it, and we'll probably see it more along this list, you know, if you look at the positional players that they play with, they have the best receivers, the best running backs to play with. You know, they're not struggling to make plays like these other quarterbacks in college are trying to do. You know, that proves that they're, hey, lifting a team that's not as good as them up and better than they should be.
Yeah. We're going to move down the list. Number 9, quarterback U, Texas A&M. Throw some notable names out there for you. Tell me what you got. Gerard Johnson, Ryan Tanney, Johnny Manziel, Kellen Mond. I don't know really who Kellen Mond is. I know Gerard Johnson, obviously Ryan Tanney, and Johnny Man. Boy, I don't think Ryan Tannehill's that great of a quarterback, for one. I know a lot of people are getting on him. They just gave him, what, $114
million? Yeah, $114 mil.
For what, 5 years? Mm-hmm. Some crap. I think that's crap, dude.
It's just weird. Like, I don't understand how that's just weird. But also, you got to look at it. They're probably looking at, like, who was also great in college and where do these players go to produce in college. So,
yeah. Most of these universities here, you know, I think you could move some around. But Johnny Manziel just couldn't. He just couldn't deal with the NFL. You know, there's a difference between being an NFL player and then being an NFL athlete, being a professional. And
it's hard for me because, like, Johnny Manziel, I'm not gonna lie, great talented quarterback, great, probably one of the greatest talents we've ever seen in college and high school. It just, his talent never transitioned, and it's because, you know, when you're out running linemen and the SEC, you know, some of those linemen are going to be insurance salesmen in a couple years.
selling, what's the saying? A door-to-door vacuum salesman or something like that? Was it door-to-door what?
Door-to-door vacuum salesman.
Vacuum,
yeah.
Salesman?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited to say number 8, quarterback U, Florida. The boys down in the swamp. Good old Jesse Palmer, Rex Grossman, Chris Leak, and the king, Tim Tebow.
And even then, you guys got a pretty good quarterback right now, the quarterback that there's, you know.
Yeah, we do. We do have a very, very good quarterback on our hands at the moment. So, I mean, we'll see how the season plays out for the Gators down in the swamp this year.
Hey, it's going to be a very interesting top 25.
It's going to be very interesting, you know, because we're only playing in conference. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not playing out of conference, which is crazy. How do I play 12 games in conference? We're literally playing everybody.
It's going to be very interesting. I'm just very excited to see what's going to happen with the top 25 because I want to see these teams that are never going to be in the top 25 somehow make the top 25.
This is going to be their one and only year. You better enjoy it. Number 7, Auburn. Jason Campbell, Mr. Patriot, Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Nick Marshall?
You know what's crazy? Jared Stidham as well, too.
Yeah, Jared Stidham is on here. You remember Nick Marshall, the Georgia Miracle?
I do.
Off the helmet, catch that they beat Georgia. That was nuts.
That was like 2012, wasn't it?
2012. Yeah, dude, he launched that ball as hard as he could. It bounced off the Georgia guy's helmet and popped into his dude's hands. Just 85 yards. No big deal. Number 6, Louisville. Some notable ones, old school, Chris Redman, Brian Brohm, Teddy Bridge. Lamar Jackson, MVP of the NFL right now, coming out of Louisville. The
Teddy
Cardinals.
Teddy Bridgewater,
man. Yeah, bro. Teddy Bridgewater, though, serious. I mean, trying to actually make a name for himself this year, you think? In Carolina? You think he's going to do something with McCaffrey?
Man, I hope so. I mean, personally, I'm rooting for Teddy Bridgewater. I've always been rooting for Teddy Bridgewater ever since he came out of the draft. And when he got that horrific knee injury, it really, you know, it's devastating because, you know, you root for a guy. But I'm pulling for him. I think he can. But if they don't, he's going to have a short lease. And I could easily see them, you know, being in that Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes with the Jaguars.
Yeah, I think the Jaguars are tanking this year for that number one. I mean, who else is going to who else do you say is going to fight him for?
I mean,
Bengals?
Not the Bengals, the Panthers maybe.
Think the Panthers are going to fight for the worst record?
Well, I mean,
in the league?
Possibly. I mean, do you think they're in win now mode?
No.
No.
I mean, but I think Bridgewater and McCaffrey will get it.
I feel like the teams that are going to be the bottom dwellers of the league next year, Jets,
I mean,
Panthers.
The Jets, okay.
Jets, Panthers, I see Jaguars.
The Chiefs,
that's his bottom dwellers of the
Chiefs,
league.
The bottom dwellers this year?
Oh, I think everyone here in Denver would love it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they would. Everybody, especially Josh. Easy stuff to talk about. Chiefs go down.
Yeah, how Mahomes went from Hall of Fame quarterback to bust within 3 years.
Yeah, he got $500 million. Didn't want to do anything.
Didn't want to do anything.
Moving on, number five. Before we get out of this segment and move on, number five, quarterback you, Florida State. Classic Chris Winkie, Christian Ponder, EJ Manuel, and Jameis Winston. There's only one on that list I didn't watch play, which was Chris Winkie.
I was about to say the same thing, but you know what's also funny? Like, EJ Manuel, I don't know how, when you look at back at that 2013 NFL draft, that first round is probably the worst first round in NFL history. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not one, I mean, there's a couple good Pro Bowl players, but
not any, really.
No, I mean, EJ Manuel was the only quarterback taken in the first round.
Which he made his round around, and then he went with Buffalo, he ended up Buffalo.
Buffalo, Raiders.
Didn't really work out. Christian Ponder, I know, went to Minnesota, and then we all know how Jameis went.
Hey, you know, he has his own 30 for 30.
Yeah. Huh? No, I mean, I wouldn't say Florida State's number five on the quarterback list, but it is what it is. Number four, Texas. Major Applewhite, Chris Sims, Vince Young, and Colt McCoy. Boy, I remember Colt McCoy, one of the most accurate quarterbacks you will ever see.
Watch in college football.
Him, Sam Bradford, all coming out of that Big 12 slinging. And a dangin', dude. They were really throwing the football around, you know.
You know what's crazy? If someone would have told you back in the day that Colt McCoy, Sam Bradford would have all been out of the league around that time 10 years ago, you would have told them crazy. You would have been like, there's no way. Mm-hmm. But now Colt McCoy, career backup. Sam Bradford, his career is plagued by injuries. It's just crazy, like, how these players, you know, transition from college to the NFL and how their careers can take a path between injuries or, you know, different situations. Like, you get, you know, Colt McCoy got drafted to the Browns. That's not a good situation.
No, that's not really. I'm going to leave the top three for tomorrow when we start, and then we're going to work our way through the running back universities of the country. We're going to take a quick break, guys. We're going to come back, and boy, fantasy football – or not fantasy football. What is coming up, Jake? Sorry. The top 50 NFL teams of all time. Another list for you guys to keep with us. And listen, this is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com and part of the Beat On Air Network.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle. Showing!
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air,
broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of Inside the Huddle. Like Squirrel mentioned at the very end of the break, we were going to get into another top 50 list, but this time we're going to be actually getting into top 50 NFL teams instead of NFL players. And I want to get off into 55 into 51 before we get into this list, and I'll just kind of name those teams off.
55? We got 55, not 50?
Yeah, no, so I just want to skip the outlier teams.
I got you. Okay.
The teams that are just outside the team, outside the qualifications. So starting off with outside the qualifications, that'll be number 55, and that will be the Detroit Lions, 1953. And Kevin Clark from NFL Writer reports that was one of the greatest and most talented teams in NFL history. That was back in the day when they really didn't have a salary cap and you could start building a team and start buying your own teams.
Yeah.
So
salary cap these days kind of kills a total domination. You know, it takes some skill these days to really create a dominating defense or offense. I mean, offense? No, I think you can build a great offense with turds. Mm-hmm. You know, speed, catch the football, get some guys out running. I think you can build a great offense all the time with, you know,
all you really
depending
need,
a quarterback in the backfield. I got that.
Just but, about to say, and as well as your left tackle.
Which me and you both know those are hard to come by.
Exactly. Let's run through this. So 54,
mm-hmm.
1982 Washington Redskins, 2007 New York Giants, 52, 1960 Philadelphia Eagles, and 51, the 2001 Patriots. Now starting off the list. Yeah, right?
Any of those Patriots teams, I can't believe, are way back there.
So just cracking off this list, and this is actually – you know, a team that started off here, Denver's first championship, the 1997 Broncos, are number 50 on this list, just at the very edge of the list.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not see them as a higher team? Or, like, out of all the Broncos teams, is this the best Broncos team?
Which one was it? What year?
1997.
It was Elway's year.
Yeah, it's Elway's year. So
that's the Elway Super Bowl, right?
But out of all, like, because I feel like this team's got to be a top 30 team. I mean, this one or the 98 team has to be a top 30 team in the NFL.
I mean, I'm going to guess every one of these top 50 teams is a Super Bowl winning team.
Some of them aren't actually in the top 10.
Which is crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Why would your Super Bowl winning teams not be the best ones, theoretically?
Well, like, if you look at it, you know, the 2007 Giants versus the 2007 Patriots. I mean, who was the better team on
what,
the field?
What list are you working off of? Yeah, ESPN?
NFL.com.
NFL.com. Okay.
So
go ahead.
Going on to 49. Mm-hmm. This is going to go old school. 1941 Chicago Bears. And this team averaged a league-high 36 points per game at a time when you're ending games 7-0. 36 points per game.
Yeah. No, it's back then it was all, like you said, all smash-mouth defense and just, you know, people getting off the ball, getting at it, destroying each other. Not much offense back in the day. You know, there was a lot of people ran a wing T and running a lot. It was a lot of running back in the day. There wasn't so much drop back, throw the ball. Let's get 40 yards down the field in 5 seconds. No. There wasn't much of that. Just so people listening to us understand that football right now is a completely different game. than I would even say 10 years ago.
Even then 10 years ago, 3 yards in a cloud of dust was still a legitimate offense. Nowadays, offensive coordinators are shying away from that. And if you look at it, the offensive coordinators, like you were saying, are shying away from that power back system or that one power back. And if they do get a power back, it's a situational back that they're bringing in on third and ones, fourth and ones, something where it's like, hey, I can get it right here.
So, yeah, and you see that a lot with running backs right now. You find a speedster running back, that's easy, you know, no problem. You don't really look at third down backs no more, you know, big heavies getting yards. You don't see when's the next time you think you're going to see a Jerome Bettis run the football at 240 pounds?
And you know what's crazy? The Jags just cut a guy that's similar to that.
230 pounds.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette's the closest
big guy. Dude, he's a big boy, dude. He's a big dude.
The LSU running backs. This one we don't have to touch on much because I'm pretty sure no one here saw this team play. The 1923 Canton Bulldogs. This is the first team to win back-to-back championship. And this is if their boy Red Grange played for this team.
Red Grange.
Having 7 touchdowns in a 12-game season and still wins the NFL
first,
MVP.
First back-to-back. That's crazy, dude. Canton. And that's why that is where the Hall of Fame is.
Here's my thing. Is like, how is, like, in Ohio that they have Canton as a team that, you know, they have – how do they not have Canton as a, you know, NFL team or NFL city, but yet they have Cleveland and Cincinnati?
Because it's where the greats go.
It's because it's where the greats go.
You don't need a team there because the greats are going there anyway. They already have a team.
Yeah,
the Canton's got the greatest team. Honestly, that's what the hall is called, the Canton Greats. Honestly, dude, you got to think about that. 47. What do you got?
47. This is actually these next two teams. Probably spent a lot of time talking on them.
Yep.
And number 47, the 1995 Dallas Cowboys, and this is the third Super Bowl of the three triplets that they won in the 90s. This team could have easily won 4 straight if it wasn't for a pick 6 by Eric Taylor and the NFC Championship. I mean, those Dallas Cowboys teams were phenomenal. Phenomenal. Like, there's not much you could say about them.
Emmitt was there.
Irvin.
Irvin.
Alvin Harper.
Aikman.
Alvin Harper as well.
Harper was there too?
Yeah, that receiver. They got Harper. They had another receiver as well. Who was that other receiver that they had that on the other side of Aikman besides Harper for a little bit? It wasn't Roy. Yeah, who was it?
It wasn't Irving. Michael? Was it Michael Irvin? No.
Look this up.
I'm gonna let you do number 46. 40? I won't take it till 45.
I won't take it to 45. Well, 46. I mean, again, I don't know how these Patriot teams are so low on the list, but 46 is the 2014 New England Patriots, the fourth Lombardi that they won out of 6, first one out of the second triplet that they won in the second decade.
2014, that wasn't their 15-1 year.
That was no. Do you mean their 14-2 year?
Was it 14-2? Is that the best he's ever done? He didn't go 15-1.
He went 16-0.
Lost.
Yeah, and lost.
And lost.
The best he's ever had was in 2016, and as well as in 20.
That was 2016. He went 16-0.
Or 14-2.
14-2.
Yeah.
When did he go 16-0?
2007.
Jeez. That was 7 years before he won his fourth Super Bowl.
And you know what's crazy? That Super Bowl was played in Arizona, just like the last Super Bowl was played in Arizona.
Glendale, yep, Glendale.
And ironically, you know what's crazy about it? That same catch that I always have to block out his name. David Tyree made on his helmet.
Mm-hmm.
That same catch Jermaine Karis made at the
exact. Was that Tyree or Cruz?
That was David Tyree.
David Tyree?
Yeah.
Because they had, was it Cruz, right?
Victor Cruz. Salsa dance.
Yeah, and the gun possession or whatever it was.
Oh, my.
What was the one? He's the one who shot his foot, right?
No, that was, oh, my God. That was Plexico Burris.
Plexico Burris, that's right. Shot himself in the foot.
You know what's funny about that is Stevie Johnson had a touchdown dance where he made fun of it.
Yeah, and Victor Cruz was the he did the salsa dance every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was a good receiver. I had high hopes for him until,
he was
a great
receiver, dude. Yeah. You know, I miss like Lynn Swan, bro. I miss like the real smooth. I've seen a lot of his highlights. I never actually got to watch him, but I, you know what? You know who else?
They got John Stallworth on the other side.
Stallworth was there. You remember Randall L. Dude, that classic Pittsburgh, you know, team back in the early late 2000s.
They had Mike Wallace too. They had
That was when D'Angelo Williams was there.
Oh my god!
Remember that D'Angelo Williams?
Mettenberger too. Or not Mettenberger. Who was that?
Mettenberger.
Mettenberger. Mettenberger. Yeah. They had a good team for
a while. They did, bro. Dude, Troy Polamalu.
That 2008 Pittsburgh team.
There it is. Hines Ward.
I
knew I would remember the other side, and you can't forget about Hines Ward. Let's wrap up number 45. Do our five today. And let's finish talking about, I think, one of the greatest defenses I have ever watched in my entire football career.
And that is the 2002 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes,
and
sir.
I'm not putting much arguing. I honestly...
You can't argue that, dude.
Top five defenses, you got to put them up there. 2000 Ravens.
Other than one of those Chicago defenses of the 70s or 65.
Or the 2000 Ravens.
With Ray Lewis and
Ed Reed. Or the 2013 Seahawks.
No, they got them beat. I know the Seahawks secondary was second to none. Probably the greatest secondary that's ever been put together.
So what's better than the 2015 no-fly zone or the 2013 Legion of Boom? That's a hard one. What's better? What's the better secondary?
I mean, nobody wanted to throw to the Legion of Boom, bro. Nobody wanted to, especially going into Seattle and trying to play that.
Good luck. What I'm saying, though, like, you know, going against no fly zone, it goes the same way.
I mean, where are you at? You at no fly zone?
I'm at no fly zone. I just feel like that no fly zone did more against greater competition. I mean, they shut down Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, and Cam Newton in three consecutive games en route to winning a Super Bowl.
Okay, so do you compare that with the 2002 Chucky defense?
No, I don't compare that, but I'm saying between
Warren Sapp, Dexter Jackson?
Yeah, they got like Dexter Jackson, they had Warren Sapp.
Hang on. The brothers, Brooks,
yeah.
Derek Brooks. Yeah, they had Brooks,
John Lynch,
Peyton Barber,
Rondé Barber.
Yeah, dude, like that was a squad, man. That was a defense. And then check out the other side of the ball, Keyshawn Johnson. Brad Johnson?
Oh.
Who was running the... Mike Allstott was it?
They had Warrick Dunn the year before, and then they got rid of him.
Yeah, classic Warrick Dunn was there. I'm thinking about the other wide receiver, man. I loved him. Oh, Joe Jerovicious. Remember that dude?
I do. That
Joe Jerovicious, dude. Long, skinny, like Brandon Stokely. Went deep, caught the ball.
You know what's crazy that you bring that up? He actually got a card in Madden Ultimate Team last year. He got like a 95 overall card in Madden.
Joe Jerovicious?
Yeah, Joe Jerovicious.
Wow, dude.
They're giving anyone cards nowadays.
Anybody's getting football cards. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Inside the Huddle for today. This is on GoMileHigh.com and part of the Be On Air Network. We have the Press Box coming up right after this, and I will be your host. Stick with me, guys, on Facebook Live. Love all you. See you guys. We'll be right back. We'll